Nothing can stand against the name of Jesus. I love that verse. What a powerful name. Y'all paid attention. They ain't trying to silence the name of Muhammad, Buddha, Krishna, Satan. They aren't trying to silence that name. It's only the name of Jesus. Only the name of Jesus offends people. It's a name. Oh, but what a name. A name that every time we say Jesus, I get it, it's the Roman version of Yeshua. Who cares? It's the same name. It works. It means the same thing. He's our deliverer. But every time the devil hears that name, he gets a little weak. Oh man, they're saying that name again. They gotta stop. Quit saying that name. Churches won't say the name of Jesus because it offends. I hope it does. I hope you're offended at the name of Jesus. It was for your offense that he had to come. He took the reproach for us. What a powerful, powerful name. We got a few things we want to do here this morning. First off, happy Father's Day, gentlemen. Thank you. It is a privilege to be a father. Privilege some people walk out on. Well, I don't consider them to even be men. That's my opinion. Told you I'll tell you when it's my opinion. Thank you and bless somebody, yours or another. Also, tomorrow is the newsletter information due date. It'll be due to Miss Vicky. And next Sunday is Compassion Cafe, 9:30 to 10:15 in the conference center. Come and enjoy a hot breakfast, coffee, milk, all juice for a free will donation. We help those in need with this. And also mark your calendars for the annual At His Feet Christian Center baptism and picnic will be held on Sunday, August 14th, following service. Okay? And I drove by where we were having it this year. Like I told you, we haven't told you yet where it's going to be, but they did. It's over by Chesterville, so you can imagine. They had a brand new playground and all this stuff, and when we came through Tuesday afternoon, you couldn't see the playground because of all the trees. I went by there yesterday. I don't think a bit of the equipment got hit. I don't think any of it got damaged. Trees all around. I don't think it got destroyed. Might be some minor things. They cleaned it up. But folks, by the way, God has been showing us, me, some things. Angela and I have been talking about this. There's some significance to this storm. The year, the whole nine yards. There is some spiritual significance. I'm not one that usually jumps in on that, but I can't say two tornadoes hitting the same county 41 years apart is a coincidence. Because there's some significance to some things, and I'm not teaching on that today. I don't want to come off half-cocked, so I need to study some more. But praise God. Well, we're going to bless the tithe and offering before we bless our fathers. So let's do this. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, I thank you first off that the damage has been minimal in this county. Father, I know people have lost buildings, maybe lost their roofs, got to clean up a huge mess. But Father, nobody died. The destruction was minimal for three tornadoes. Father, I thank you for your mercy. Lord, I thank you for the things you're showing your people about this storm and the things you're even showing me about it. So, Father, I thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, the tree that fell, that could have hit my house, fell to the side. And the ones that did hit, they did minimal. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for your mercy. And now, Father, we honor you with our tithes. Lord God, I pray that you bless them, Father. And I stand here and I will say, you are faithful. You are true. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated for a couple minutes. We're going to let our praise team be dismissed. Yes, I do. You know, being a father is a privilege. Yeah, I get it. It's just a mechanical thing that takes place and it happens. But to be a father, a real father, like our Heavenly Father, takes work. Takes a commitment. And being a father is a privilege denied to many. They just can't have children for whatever reason. And so they don't get to know that privilege. And I will say being a grandfather is one that's denied many as well because of that. But I got to tell you, you know, it's awesome. I really do. I love it. And, you know, Friday we took the grandkids to a place called the Farm at Walnut Creek over in Amish country, Sugar Creek. Awesome experience. It's good for everybody. You get to see giraffes up close. Buffalo come right up to your trailer, your wagon, your whatever you want to call it. Watusi, cattle, great big horns. Deer, elk, llamas. Now, the potbelly pigs, they can't quite reach up that high, so you just throw them the food. But, you know, on the way back, I'm driving across through there. I came back 62 back through Lower Fredericktown Road and all that. And I look around, look in the rearview mirror, look in my passenger seat. Everybody's asleep but the driver. And it's not because the driver didn't want to take a nap. The driver was tired. So the driver starts creating stupid songs about the Sandman, getting everybody in the car. And but when I got home, I went into our little sitting room, shut the door, sat down in the recliner, kicked it back, and I took my nap. And a little bit later, I hear the door open. And then I hear it gently close, and I thought, okay. They realized Pawpaw's taking a nap. About that time I cracked my eye open. Here comes this little boy, climbs up, jumps up there beside me, slides down, pulls a little bit of blanket over him, and kind of rolls over next to Pawpaw. I thought, okay, he's going to take a nap. He's going to take lay down with Pawpaw for a little bit. Papa, Papa, what? Where's Justin? He calls him Jesse on purpose. Because we'll say, it's Justin. He'll laugh, Jesse. He said, where's he at? I said, he's upstairs. He said, he's upstairs, maybe even taking more nap. I don't know. And what's he doing? I said, I don't know. I said, we're going to go pick up sticks in a little bit, though. As soon as I said that, when are we going to pick up? We got a tractor? Tractor, pick up sticks? Yes, we're going to get the tractor. No, I meant the mower. But doggone it, when we went outside, when I realized I'm not going back to sleep, we go out, and I'd left my tractor out from the night before. He goes running, makes a beeline to my tractor, tries to climb up on it. I put him up on it, and he turns around. He looks. He says, "Where's Cardi's seat?" He calls himself Cardi. "Where's Cardi's seat?" Well, you see, they make this buddy seat that Joshua knows of, and they start putting them in these new tractors. He wanted to know where Carter's seat was at on my tractor. He deserved a seat. Now, my tractor ain't got room for a seat. There's barely enough room for Pawpaw on that tractor. But don't you know he stood on the back? He stood on the seat with his arms wrapped around my throat while we went around back and got the trailer. And so it's just those moments, folks. That's how our Heavenly Father feels. Yes, it was uncomfortable driving with those three-year-old arms locked around my esophagus. But I figured out how to breathe. I figured out, you know, like I said, there's not much room on my tractor. Then I'm steering against my belly. But I was like, you know what? There is no way on this planet that I would change that. So being a father is an honor. The world in the last, I'll give it 50 years, has taken away the honor of being a father and a mother. Are we perfect moms and dads? No, we are not. Were our parents perfect? No, they weren't. Did they do the best they possibly could? Very likely. And so psychologists tell, blame your mom and dad for screwing you up. Sons, you're welcome. But we did the best we can. That's government work for you. Gotta love them. But it is a privilege to be a father. So much so to be a privilege that women want to be fathers now. And the men that don't have the spine to be men want to be women. Yes, I said that, and if you're offended, tough. You were born with the plumbing you got. Your DNA forever will show you're male or female. There's an attack on that. And you know what? I'm honored to be a man. I'm honored to be a father, a grandfather, a husband. I'm honored to be that. So today we're going to honor our fathers. Now, gentlemen, I don't have roses for you. If you want a rose, go down to the store and you buy one. Okay? Matter of fact, I'll give you a fake one out of here if you really are that butthurt about it. However, you know, as we've talked about over the past several years, I don't, for men, I'm like, you know, I mean, yeah, we get a cool little pocket watch or knife or a flashlight that you got to shake and it's got 30 seconds of light with it. Okay, it's a cool concept. We put a scripture on it. I think the coffee mugs was probably about the best thing. Man of God. That's what I love. But what we started doing was making sure that we went to the Father's heart. So you have to think like our Father God. And there was one thing, one ministry I thought somewhere along the line, we lost the information for it. So we had to go with another ministry. So fathers, I'd like you to come up. Come on. I can't read it. Come on. Come on. You're a papa. Come on up here. And if you're a grandpapa, that means you're a papa. So, yeah. You know what, guys? Keep on. You know, you two are brothers now, so. You know, it's amazing the generations up here. The fact that some of these I watched grow up. It's amazing. Some of them I grew up with. Well, I guess one of them, as I'm looking up through, I only grew up with one of them. And where's he at? One of them I raised. This is a privilege. But what we've done is we partnered up with James Robinson Ministries, the same ones that we used to help drill the well, if you remember years ago. And there's a drought in Africa. Surprise, right? Seems to, yeah, there's a drought in the United States too, but we're not hurting like they are. And so there's a picture on the back. Those you women will get to see it back here. This is the picture of this little boy before they were able to start feeding him. This is him afterwards. It looks like he's probably put on about 20 pounds. You know what? I don't care. Oh, it's Africa. You know what? We're the most blessed country on this planet. We produce so much food that we throw it away. I was raised, you eat what's on your plate. You go to a restaurant and you put what on your plate, you eat that doggone food. But I don't want it now. It saddens me to see people go to a smorgasbord or a buffet now and pile food onto their plates and then eat a third of it and push it aside and go get more. That's disgusting as human beings. Well, you know, if there's starving children in China, there's starving children in Africa, send the food there. That's what we did. That's what we did. 40 children will be able to be fed for how long, babe? Several months, anyhow. These children will be able to be fed for several months because of the donation made in your name and in your honor. So know that. That not only do you get to take, or is your name taking care of your families, it's taking care of somebody else who can't. So let's, gentlemen, I salute you. I tell you what, yes. Put, gentlemen, take your hand, put it on your neighbor. We're going to kind of form a chain, and I'm going to bless you. Yeah, you guys can, there you go. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, to be in the company of these great men. Lord, we are honored to be, first off, men of God. Father, we are honored to be fathers and some of us grandfathers and great-grandfathers. Lord, I bless these men. As your representative here today, Father, I bless them. Father, with strength, with courage, Father, with wisdom and everything that they need to continue walking in this path. Father, I thank you for each and every one of them, for the different walks of life we have represented here, for the different occupations, the different likes, dislikes. Lord, they have one thing in common. They love their families. So bless them in that this day, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. All right, so and on that note, the super kids, do I have anything else? Super kids are dismissed. I'm going to be pulling a Colonel Clink thing here today. There we go. All right, y'all want to hear a joke? I got a good joke. But remember, it's a joke. Don't nobody get offended. So there was a soldier, sailor, an airman, and a Marine sitting in the E Club having a drink. He's telling a joke about a bar. Don't all good jokes start somebody going into a bar? As long as the preachers ain't going in the bar. But anyhow, they're all sitting there having a drink. The airman jumps up and he says, God told me that when he created me, he made me the smartest and the wisest of all. Soldier looks over. He jumps up. He said, well, God told me when he created me, he made me the baddest and the strongest of all. Sailor, not to be outdone, jumps up and says, when God told me when he created me, he made me the fastest and the swiftest. The Marine's still sitting there, possibly chewing on his crayon, finished up his drink, took another puff on his cigar, looks over at him and says, I never told any of you that. That's why I had to tell you, just a joke. I thought it was a pretty good one. Oh, praise God. I mean, we mean no disrespect, Lord. We know we're not God. Oh, praise him anyhow. So, a couple of weeks ago, the Lord had started showing me and talking to me about some things, and I don't know if I'm even going to be able to, if I'm at the end of it yet on this message today. But there's this little thing called contempt. If you've ever watched a drama, you know, we love courtroom dramas, don't we? That's why there are so many of them. Movies, From the Hip. Anybody else ever seen that movie? Judd Nelson? And my wife and I own it on VHS. Just because I forgot to return it in Okinawa. It is actually a pretty good movie. But it just never got the fanfare because I don't think Siskel and Ebert liked it. I just about called them Bert and Ernie. Siskel and Ebert evidently didn't like it, but I thought it was a pretty doggone good movie. But contempt. We see it all the time in the movies, right? The TV shows. I'm going to hold you in contempt of court if you don't sit down and shut up. And how many of the lawyers actually sit down and shut up? Not many of them. They always push until they get contempt. Now, sometimes they get hit with a hefty fine. $5,000, $10,000, thousands of dollars. The ones I like are, take him into custody now. Put him in jail. And the attorney will sit to prove a point. They'll sit in jail. I was right. Well, you're the one in jail. You need to figure out how to do it if you're going to deal with that. Do it right. But contempt, God started saying, my people hold me in contempt. How do we hold God in contempt? Well, okay. Yeah, there's something wrong with bifocals when you know what? No, they got screws in them, and that's the problem. They break right here. Anybody that's ever had government glasses knows what I'm talking about. Oh, hey, we will do the Colonel Clink thing. That's a little better. Yep, the right eye's better. It's open disregard, disrespect, or willful disobedience of the authority of a court or legislative body. Okay, Lord, this is not going to work. Do I have a magnifying glass? Yes, I do. You get up here and... Oh, hang on. Bob and I have a pretty close thing. I won't break yours. Authority of a court or legislative body. The state of being despised or dishonored. The state feeling or attitude of reprimanding someone or something as inferior or base or worthless. Synonyms: dishonor, disdain, reproach. Reproach, an expression or blame of blame or disapproval, a rebuke. So when Peter rebuked Jesus, he was holding Jesus as contempt. Shame, disgrace, disobedient, or discredit, or blame. I can read the ones off the wall. Thank you, sir. We hold God in contempt when we argue with him about how he did something. There will be people. Why did God let this tornado come through the county? Why did he let the one in Cardington 41 years earlier? I have my thought on that one. That one did significant damage. And I think there were even a couple people died as a result. It's been 41 years, okay? I was a kid. I don't remember. But there's two different things. This one, no life was lost. It did property damage. Turn it on your insurance. It's what you got it for. The other one did significant damage, changed lives, pushed out some things. It's called judgment. I'm from Cardington, I don't believe that. I don't care if you believe it or not. Look at the facts. It cleaned Cardington up. There was a lot of stuff in Cardington that was people didn't want to look at, just like New Orleans. But we will hold God in contempt. Why, God, why did you let this happen to New Orleans? First off, God gave people the out. Leave. There's a, what, Category 5 hurricane coming your way? Y'all don't realize that's over 200 miles an hour winds. This tornado was 105. That's a huge difference. And I've been in the helicopter in the 200 mile an hour stuff. And it's scary. But when people said, oh, it was all God's judgment, and a priest said it was God's mercy too, it got people out of there. People were forced to leave. Some of those people have never returned back to the life that they were stuck in. Oh, well, if God's so merciful and loving, why are the mines closing in West Virginia? People are losing their jobs. Hallelujah, people can move. You do realize we're holding God in contempt when we say, you brought evil. God never brings evil. Evil is just waiting to be, is waiting. It's there. It's outside the door. It's always waiting. But God's mercy is, I'll shut the mind, let the mind shut down so you can leave this place. Has anybody else besides me been to mining towns down there? They're poor. These people work and work and work. Now, more modern mining, it's a little different. But my great-grandfather was a miner. Died of black lung. Poor. Didn't start making money until he left the mine. And the mine companies tried to keep you poor. Well, you can live in our house. You can buy stuff at our store with our money. And you can put it on credit, but you're paying more for it. Because you don't have to go get it. So they kept people. But when the mine starts shutting down, things start close. It forces people to go where there is some prosperity. Sodom and Gomorrah. We can look at, God just burned all those people. Well, first off, there was an explosion about to happen. And God said, I'm bringing judgment. I'm going to let it happen as judgment. Because first off, it wasn't just homosexuality. To understand that everybody, they were just awful. Yes, they were awful. But pay attention to something else. The angels were guests. You did not violate guests. You didn't treat them bad. You didn't do anything. But in Sodom and Gomorrah, if you were a guest of somebody, I hope you're packing, because it didn't matter. The judges were corrupt. They treated people awful. Is it starting to sound like America? America's Babylon. No, America is Sodom and Gomorrah. Our judges are crooked, are corrupt. Our legislature is corrupt. We need some relief. And we can't hold God in contempt of it. It's here. We said, we'll just be more accepting of sin. That's the problem. The church became accepting of sin. Listen, if somebody is struggling with homosexuality, they are welcome here. But understand, I will tell you the truth. It's wrong. It's pride. That's why their whole pride thing is they don't get it. They played right into the hand because it doesn't create life. I have a relationship that doesn't create life at all. Now, the Catholic Church took it a little too far. Well, there's no birth control. Listen, that's a stupid argument. Obed-Edom, the whole thing. You know about, y'all read about that. I'm not talking about that one today. We have so much things we're holding God in contempt for. Well, God, the gas prices. Y'all do realize we are still cheaper than some other countries. By the way, well, look, it's only $5 over there in Ukraine when I was there. That's per liter. It's a different measurement. It's not as much as a gallon. I was like, these gas prices ain't so bad when I was over there. And Bob said, yeah, that's per liter. That's not per gallon. You know, the soda pop bottles that we walk around with. That's a 2-liter. $6 for that. Country's been paying that for years. United States, well, we go up a little bit. I got to spend money on that. I can't go buy my $120 tennis shoes. You really need $120 tennis shoes. If you're an athlete, I can justify that. If you're just walking around and say, hey, look at my shoes, you're stupid. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you flat. Nobody else will tell you this, but I will. Believe me. I'll tell you that. We are holding God in contempt because we don't believe his word today. Oh, Jesus has come. We've been hearing that for centuries. Yes, we have, but I'm going to tell you right now, the things have lined up. That's why I've told you, I'm telling you, people, everybody is on, Christians are trying to get Q. Q's going to save us all. Who is Q? We don't know. Anybody else besides me been hearing of this? Okay, well, you'll see that they've got stickers on the back of their cars that says Q. It's this secret organization of the white hats and all that. By the way, they say Russia is good, not bad. That the all this stuff that's actually been evil is actually good. I think pretty sure I've been told that my Bible says beware when they start calling good evil and evil good. But it's this whole underbelly thing of that Trump is going to come back in. He's going to be resurrected and he's going to be our glorious king. Okay, I'm just maybe over a little exaggerated it there. But that's the way they're worshiping. They're getting crazy with this. Who's behind Q? Nobody knows. They can't find the source. Because it just... I have friends who are doing it, so that's how I'm telling you. And I think I ran two people out a couple weeks ago when I said that, because that's exactly where they were going. They'd already told me. Jesus is our only hope, folks. If Trump is reelected, praise God, if that's God's will. I don't want anything but God's will, because everything that happens at this point is only hastening the return of Jesus Christ. Listen, I personally do not want life as it was before. What do you mean? Well, we had a good... Yeah, I wasn't complaining about it, and it was a good life. What would life be like with Jesus Christ? With him, walking with him. When he comes back to take the church, yes, in what we call the rapture, he said he will come back. He'll take the bride. How much more glorious will life be? We can't hold God in contempt. We can't say, God, this is all your fault. We started the fire. We did it. Billy Joel's wrong. We started the fire when we took the apple. The fruit, when we took that, when mankind did that, it released the proverbial Pandora's box. So what we start seeing now is people, that's why I address this, because who knows what is watching at some point. We call them internet trolls. They're responsible for countless suicides. People trolling young people, making fun of them, tearing them down. Let me tell you something. If you're the spineless twit who's sitting at a keyboard tearing somebody else down, for the love of God, please let me know where you live, and I will be bringing my boot. Because you cannot keep tearing people down. I don't like bullies. And I realized as I've gotten older, I didn't like bullies, but there was people I bullied and didn't realize it. And I didn't mean to be, but I was being bullied, so I, in turn, returned the favor. And it makes me sick that I ever did it. it sounds like you're doing it now. Bullying the bullies. Yeah, you're right. I'm also carrying on the oath that I took on. I said, you won't hurt people in this country. Oh, I know. I'm the bad guy, though. Now, we need more people that are going to stand up. So if we're going to believe that God is coming, listen, Jesus went in and he kicked the church's butt. It was the church he went into and whipped. He turned over their tables. He made whips and whipped the people in the church. People held him in contempt. They crucified him. Well, understand something. When you hold God in contempt, you're going to pay a price. Now, there's some things I want to look at today. Psalm 74:18. Remember this, that the enemy has reproached the Lord. Remember, reproach is another word for contempt. Reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. You need to understand, David was a little more like me. He's like, Lord, he told him the truth, except for the fact that sometimes it seemed like he holed up in a wall and didn't want to fight anymore. But he had shed so much blood, I'm sure he didn't feel like fighting. Remember this, that the enemy has reproached. People who are an enemy to God are the ones who reproach him. They're bringing contempt to God. It's arrogance that is manifested when people do this. And it's foolish for us to do this. Well, God really didn't say this. Yes, he did. He meant it. He meant it when he said a leader should really only have one wife. Now we got churches going out and saying, oh no, no, we can have multiple wives. Personally, that's in my opinion, that's the definition of insanity. I love my wife, but I couldn't imagine having five. Different. Oh man, whose birthday is it today? Whose anniversary is it today? Who haven't I said I love you to today? You get a lot of problems. Proverbs 17:5. He who mocks the poor reproaches, holds God in contempt, his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Here's the one I want to look at for modern day people today. I know that all is the same thing. We have people sitting on the internet, oh, ha, 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 they deserved it. You know what? What happened to compassion? Maybe they did. I've had things I deserved, but God had compassion on me. Maybe I deserved to have that tree fall on me. God still had compassion. It didn't kill me. Could have, but it didn't. Could have paralyzed me, but it didn't. It's called compassion. But we make fun of people when things happen to them. The latest with the president, falling off his bike. It is getting sad. I mean, it really is. And folks, if you're just riding a bike and you're not racing, you do not need those fancy straps. That's what happened. He got his foot hooked and hadn't shifted his weight to his left foot yet, and whoop! But you see, the internet's full of videos now. Trump hitting a golf ball and hitting him in the head. It's a sad. I mean, I believe firmly that the man is sick. The man has got some problems and should not be where he's at. But this is our humor. We thought it was fun to go making fun of people because something bad happened. Well, those people in Louisiana, they deserved it. That's not for us to judge. He who mocks the poor. Poor doesn't necessarily mean always without money. It means unfortunate. Well, you know, that's just Morrow County over there. Oh, Sorrow County. I think I'm going to start calling it Morrow instead of Morrow, because Morrow is just tomorrow without the tuh. And after watching Cars with Mater, that really hits home. You know, Mater, like tuh Mater, just without the tuh. I don't know, maybe the governor's name was Morrow. But I will tell you this much about Morrow County, Morrow. We live in Mount Gilead, which is in the Bible. That area is Mount Gilboa, which is in Jordan right now. It was known for its herbs, spices, its balms. We have Canaan Township, we have Harmony Township, we have Gilead Township. The oldest building, the oldest structure in Mount Gilead right now is the First Church. I call that God's mercy, that all it did was knock down trees and power lines. There's not anybody's home. I mean, I know you lost your barn. Lots of people lost this stuff. Leroy Billman in Chesterville, it picked his barn up and it's all over a field. Just went by there yesterday. It's just his barn. And I hope you insure your stuff. People say, I knew somebody just had another bad thing happen to him. And, well, we didn't insure our house for enough. Why? Why are you that cheap? I do. And I don't like paying that much for insurance. But you know what? I had them up my barn insurance by $100,000. They only want to insure it for $20,000. You can't build a garage for $20,000. And that won't build the same barn that's there. Don't be cheap. Pay the few extra dollars to have your house replaced. Do not rejoice at calamity. We will not go unpunished. Something bad happens. We need to start praying. All right. Jason, bring up the next. I'm just going to say next, because it's really hard to see my handwriting there. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. Again, oppressing the poor, oppressing people who are unfortunate. Something unfortunate has happened to them. Okay. So yeah, I know the evils and atrocities that are going on in Africa right now. There are warlords, they're divided, they got things, all kinds of. Idi Amin came out of there. He was an awful man. But those people, they've been beaten down, de-armed, by the way. They took their arms. You can't defend yourself. Okay, so you got a bow and arrow and a spear. We got AK-47s. Who's winning? Africa has been a hotbed of strife for as long as I've been alive. Famines. But we don't need to say, well, you know, we need to feed the country. We feed this country too. We feed the people in Morrow County. We don't have a food pantry ourselves. We support the food pantries. I personally, again, I don't believe in recreating the wheel. Somebody else has got it going. We're the body of Christ. Just because my hand is over here and my foot is over here, they have two different jobs. It's the same blood that runs through them. Same mission. To keep the whole body going. So that's why we help Edison Enterprise. We help their garage ministry. We help other ministries. The clothing closet. The clothing closet. Whatever it's called. Clothing or clothes? Clothes closet. We don't need to make fun of people. Ha ha ha. You know, you can't afford real jeans, so, you know, we got you those knockoffs. As a kid, I mean, I was tickled to be able to get a gift, because didn't realize my dad nearly died that year. But you know, when you're in high school, back then, you didn't wear Dickies. Old men wore Dickies. I wear Dickies now, to prove the point. I also wear those $10 Rule King jeans. But I have to wear suspenders now because they slide off. I was like, you know what? I don't have to spend, I'm not spending $60 on a cheap pair of Levi's. I did find them on sale, so I bought a pair at $27. And I thought that was crazy. But I love what the clothes closet does. They buy current clothes for kids. They don't buy them plastic tennis shoes. Some of y'all never got to have those plastic tennis shoes from Dollar General, and it shows. When you go get on the bus, and from the house to the bus, it's snow, and your soles freeze, and you get on the bus, and you sound like you're wearing tap shoes because your shoes are frozen. I remember playing basketball in gym because I had gym first period. Go running in there and go to stop. Yeah, you're not stopping. You're hitting a wall. But we should never make fun of people because they can't afford something. You don't have a big TV. Who cares? You know what would be best for this country is all of our TVs blow up. Our computers. How would we ever get anything? We'll go back to writing it down, talking to people. I get it. Technology is great. You can send a message to somebody. Boom. They're on the other side of the country. They got it. You can bam, bam, bam. Great. Some of y'all don't know what it is to pay $2 a minute long distance fees across your county. Y'all remember that here? We couldn't call Cardington. But we could call Frederick down. But they couldn't call this way, yeah. It was stupid. Why can't I? I mean, I could barely call my grandma. She was right at the edge. But he who honors him, go back. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors God has mercy on the needy. If we really want to honor God, we have mercy on those who need. Right now, there are people in need. And this is what I love to see. People are actually coming together. They're doing things. They're helping their neighbors. Now here's the part. We need to recognize when we could actually use the help. Oh no, I don't need any help. Well, sometimes you do. Sometimes you need a little bit of help. We all, at some point in our life, need a hand. All right, next. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. See, our highest seat of power in this country for years, we're not even going to go Bill Clinton, not even JFK, it goes beyond that, has been desecrated by the approval of sin. Well, they're the president. They can do whatever they want. No, they can't. And yes, you do work for me. That is how this thing works. You're not a king. Righteousness exalts that nation. In the beginning, our country began to pull together because we wanted freedoms. Freedoms that were denied. Freedom of religion. Who am I to tell somebody else that you can't wear a tie? If that's how you want to come to church and you want to worship God, you do that. I like wearing them. Today's just, it's a cool day. I forgot to say anything about Hawaiian shirts, and Tim's the only one who wore one, so we'll have to make it another day. I'm still looking for SpongeBob, though. But sin is a reproach to anybody. Right now, we have Hollywood telling us what is right and what is wrong. You do understand that they literally are the very definition of the word hypocrite. And I'm not talking about their beliefs. That's what a hypocrite was. An actor. It was somebody, you know, I guess it's Matthew McConaughey who's running around gun controlling right now. But yet he has 11 movies in which he has used 11 different firearms. That, in my opinion, is a true definition of a hypocrite. Susan Sarandon's another one. She's made most of her money off of guns. Oh, but I'm pretending. Well, to the person who went out and did that evil stuff, you weren't pretending. They obviously have a hard time deciphering. So we're taking our cues now from people like that. And it becomes a reproach to the whole people, to all people. It's a reproach to us. Americans think that the world loves us. You really want to, and when I say go out, do not go to a tourist area of a country. Go out elsewhere and see how they love you. America is despised among the nations. Okinawa was a real eye-opener for me. There wasn't anybody that really loved us. They could tolerate us when we were spending money in their shops. That was it. Other than that, they hated us. They wanted us gone. They wanted us out of there. The Philippine government wanted us out of Subic Bay, out of Clark Air Force Base. They wanted us out of those places because they wanted the property. It was valuable. We had developed it. And they wanted it so bad, they actually had militants. So we were on lockdown all the time. Hazard duty pay even. But because of the arrogance, the thinking that, well, we are this great, we are a great nation. But you're only a great nation if you stay humble and kind. To quote Tim. Next. When the wicked comes, contempt comes also. And with dishonor comes reproach. I got news for you. We haven't even seen the wickedest of the wicked yet. There is a wicked one coming that will cause the whole world to tremble. That's Revelation, by the way. But there's one even more wicked than him. And he comes and forces you to worship the first one. Oh, the Antichrist will make you do this and make you do that. It's actually the false prophet who does the real atrocities. A religious leader rises up. We have to be very careful that we're what we're doing, who we're voting for. Pray. That's why, listen, you get your general information, turn off all the talk shows, and you go to God. Who knows this person better than God? Ben, you're a young man, but you probably got a few things you just as soon forget. You got a short life so far. Okay? I got 52 years on that. I got a lot of things I don't want coming up. Yeah, he's a young one. And he's got some things he's like, I just as soon forget I ever did that stupid thing. Well, you know, one day you run for office, they're going to dig it up. Why? We've all done stupid things. As long as you ain't murdered anybody, oh, wait a minute, you can still get in Congress. Just saying, we turned our back on what was right, and we allowed the wicked to come in, and with that, dishonor comes. And with dishonor, reproach comes. All right, next. Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. You cast out those people. Quit exalting them. Oh, did you see what this influencer said? Did you follow this guy on Instagram and TikTok and hippity hop hop whatever? No, I don't. I don't follow anybody. I don't care what these people have to say. Do you realize they're driving exotic cars because you care what they think? They're living in mansions because you care what they think? Because you're paying for a subscription to their stupid opinion, they don't really care about you. You are a dollar bill to them. And the more dollar bills they get every month, the next thing they're tearing up. It kind of bothers me with some of this stuff, because we see people take good money and then they tear things up. There's one particular guy I'm thinking of, and I've seen some of his videos. I'm like, well, that's a cool thing. And then you tear it up just to see what it'll do. He tore up his grandpa's truck. Now, mind you, he did have his grandpa a new truck waiting. But here's what you got to understand. His grandpa had an attachment to that truck. There are certain things you just don't do. I don't care if you did have a new one. Should have got it cleared before you did it. Because his grandpa was a little hot. So it bothers me when we exalt that over people who are going out feeding the homeless, helping the poor. You want to really help the poor? Create some jobs. Well, technology will replace that. Not if we don't allow it. I mean, come on. Do we seriously think we can be a whole country of consumers? And then we can just keep paying the very top billions of dollars? And then bail them out? That's called evil. But we cast out the scoffer, the person who's stirring it up. You know, we come together, the Bible says we come together, we stir up love, right? These people are stirring up the septic tank. They get you to fight against each other. Well, this group, this branch of the military is better than this branch. They all have their own individual jobs, and if we don't have them, we are not the country we thought we were. I respect my brothers in the Army. Well, we give each other crap. That's what we do. The Navy, I had a guy the other day when we were on vacation. I had my Marine Corps hat on. We stopped at his shop, and he just says something. He says, now he said, I don't normally talk to guys like you. Now, wait a minute, what? And he said, I was Navy. I said, and I didn't disrespect him. I mean, you're a squid. No, because that's an eater of marine refuse in our definition. But we rub each other. We do that. But yet we know darn well we'll fight to the death for the other person. When we take it serious, then we got a problem. And I'm going to tell you right now, yes, there are some Marines that think they're God. Okay, that was the only sad part about that. I know a few of them. It's like, dude, get over yourself. You just made it through boot camp. That's all you did. I did too, and I don't think I'm God. I know if I didn't have my brothers in those big bombers up above, we wouldn't have been able to gone into Baghdad as quick as we did. We didn't have artillery. We didn't have tanks. Oh, wait a minute. If you didn't have Motor T to drag, get you there, you weren't getting that 100 miles in a couple hours. It's going to take you a couple days. So I get rid of this out of my life. I can't go eliminate people. That's just illegal and wrong. But I don't have to watch their stuff. I don't have to let it feed who I am. Strife and reproach will stop when we do that. There are people, I don't listen to political commentary, and people just digging and digging and digging. We got it on both sides. When does it stop? When do we stop stirring the septic tank? We know it's there. I mean, I know where my septic tank is, and I don't go out every morning and lift the lid off of it and reach down in it. Ah, the nectar of life. No! I go out and sit on the front porch, listen to the little birds that are sitting around chirping. I was on a phone with a lady one day, and she said, are you in a, what do they call those? Aviary, yeah. Are you in an aviary? I said, no, why? She says, I can hardly hear you over the birds. I said, no, I'm actually standing outside in my yard. I said, that's just how many birds are around me right now. I said, I love it. While I was drinking my coffee, so I could smell the coffee. That sometimes is the nectar of life. So if we want to stop this stuff, it's up to us. We want to stop the contempt that's going on in the body of Christ. Listen, we're all the body. There's one thing that makes us saved, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you choose to worship with an electric guitar, praise God. If you choose not to, praise God. That is your choice. It doesn't make, if you die before you got baptized, you're still going to heaven. I wish they'd stop teaching that doctrine because it's not there. Your confession is what makes you saved. Because I've prayed with people before they died. So, didn't have a chance to baptize them. So, did they die and go to hell because I couldn't dunk them? No, absolutely not. What about the young man or woman on the battlefield that realized their life was leaving and they repented? I'd prefer to think that God accepted that. And then there's people that teach that children, when they die, they don't go to heaven because they never got baptized or confession or whatever. I personally believe in an age of accountability. The Bible actually backs that. Because if that's the case, then all these babies that have been aborted, they had life. But we're living in the day and age where we're wrong. Because we choose to believe that there's a sanctity of life. We choose to believe that there is right and wrong, that there is black and white. I got black brothers that I love dearly. Brothers of all different kinds of colors. Samoans, Vietnamese, Korean, Chinese, Africans. Tabby was from, I think, the Canary Islands. They're my brothers. And I trust them, some of them, more than I trust some of my white brothers. So it has no difference of our color. Despicable comes in every shade, shape, and ethnic background. But for the body of Christ, we need to quit holding God in contempt. He allowed stuff to happen. Yes, he does. Let's just understand that. He does allow things. Do I believe God could have stopped that tree from falling on me? Well, duh. It didn't have to fall to be first off. I mean, I expected a limb, not the whole tree. Could he have stopped it? Absolutely. Did he? No. Why? I learned a lot. I've learned a lot since then. What are we going to learn from this tornado? I'll point out some of those coming up. There's actually lessons from them. The whole storm system. Angela and I were sitting up there. I'm guessing we were about 10 miles from Pennsylvania. Sitting on a sandbar, backed my truck out on a sandbar out of Ashtabula, Conet, off of Conet. Took my truck out there, backed it up there against Lake Erie, dropped the tailgate, pulled the chairs out, pulled the cooler out, and we sat right there at the water's edge with a northeast wind blowing in our face. And I said, you know that's not good, right? I said, anytime there's a northeast wind blowing, there's a storm coming. That night, y'all got it. So, there's things we can learn from it. We were already discussing them while we were up there and driving. but I'm not going to blame it on God. I'll give you one quick lesson and it's done. I'm done. I promise. I haven't got to talk much this week. One person. One thing we all can take away from these storms, it showed us where the real weakness was. Right? The tree, the big tree that fell on my property, wasn't the tree I thought would have fallen. But it showed us where the rot was. The dead tree, two down from it, still standing. I was like, I'm going to have to pay to cut that one down. I think 75, 80 feet tall. If you think the guy that had a tree fall on him is going to go be stupid enough to stand down there. Besides that, I don't have a saw big enough to cut them down. I do baby trees still. Baby steps. But it showed us where the weakness was. You know, Caleb, I know that waking up and finding your barn, now did it just take the roof off or the whole thing down? Just roof. Okay. What it showed you was there was some weakness in the construction. Same thing with Barnett Barn. We have a shed. We're only about a mile and a half away from Barnett's. We have a shed that is just sitting on cinder blocks and wood blocks. Didn't move it. Didn't do anything to it. Go figure. I'm like, I know it's not anchored. The insurance company said, we aren't even touching that shed. Tax people said, what shed? We see you got something there, but we can see through it on the ground. Go figure. The shed that is not attached to the ground was stronger than the tree that was this big around. I don't get it. It was weaker. All right, let's stand. I said I promised I'd stop there. But there's always opportunities, folks. Look around. If you need help, call. Call somebody. I mean, people don't know. Is there anything else I needed to? Okay. Just remember, God loves us. And if things start happening to get people's eyes to open, I think he let this happen so we'd all see that no matter what comes, he'll take care of us. I know some of you lost power. You knew who to get a hold of. You were able to get a hold of generators, whatnot. Did you guys lose power over there where you were at? 12 hours. So we didn't. I think ours flashed. That's all we got evidence of. We came home. Joshua had already cleared the driveway out for us so we could get up the drive. And a neighbor, he helped. He pushed it away. Joshua had to cut it off so we could actually get by it. But God's mercy endures forever. Yes. By the way, 41 years, the Bible says 41 times, God's mercy endures forever. So, that's what you got to look forward to coming up. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy. Lord, and if we have at any part in our individual lives held you in contempt, Father, forgive us. We do not mean to hold you in contempt. We do not mean to blame you, dishonor you, hold you in reproach against anything that has happened in this world. Father, we know in the end, you have a plan. That none of this stuff is going to happen without you allowing it. Whether it be good or what we think is bad, Father, we will get through it. And now, Lord God, I thank you for your mercies in people's lives here today, Father, that We've only had structural damage, Lord. There's been no life lost, no injuries. Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord, we bless our friends and our brothers and sisters who are on vacation right now. Lord, let them relax and enjoy their families in a good time. And Father, I thank you for these people again. I bless them, Lord. I thank you. You're moving in their lives, Father, that you're strengthening them. Father, those who still have messes to clean, that you'll help them through that and get it cleaned up quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.